this morning has changed my walk. I've really been feeling in the last few weeks at home, God giving me these words that we prayed for the New Year's Eve, which is I really believe it's a year for family. It's the four R's that I got was revival, reconciliation, rejuvenation, and restoration. I'm going to say that again. Revival, reconciliation, rejuvenation, and restoration. I believe God is going to use these four things to bring families and restore families, the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. And also, fathers and mothers be on the same page, which is very, very important in a family. Who agrees with that? Very important. Unless we agree, how can we walk together? Amen. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about family. I'm going to talk a little bit about some families in the Bible that didn't have it together. And we're going to do this over the next few weeks. God's just downloaded some stuff to me. I really want to share it with you. And if there's any things happening in your family, you're not alone. It's all common to man. Amen. You're not alone. Even the great man of faith had problems in his family. Then his son, then his grandson had problems in his family. All right? But in the midst of it all, God's got a purpose for everything. I'm not saying that he made the mess, but he will certainly use the mess to make a message. Hallelujah. So, turn with me to Genesis 28, verse 10 and 22. Now let's pray before I start. Father, we just thank you for the power of your word this morning. I thank you, my God, that you would use me, Father, as that vessel, Lord, to speak your word, that, Father, there would be a deposit of your word, which my wife said is like a hammer and it's like a fire to break the stones. Lord, it allows us to break up the fallow ground of our own hearts, first of all. And Lord, help us to look at ourselves before we look at another. We ask for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place. Say with me, certain place. There's a certain place sometimes God will meet with us. Not any old place. It's a certain place. And stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. He took a stone. He laid on a stone. He used a stone as his pillow. And he fell asleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached the heavens. Where was the ladder set up from? From the earth. And it reached towards the heavens. The ladder didn't come down from heaven to earth. It reached from the earth to the heavens. Amen. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Look at the order. They were what? Ascending, then descending. They didn't descend to ascend. They had to ascend first. In other words, God already had his ministers on earth before the problem. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Above what? The ladder. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. He was saying it to someone, his name was Jacob, that never even believed in the God of his father yet. He had a knowledge of God and the knowledge of the God of his father, but he didn't believe in the God of his father yet. Genesis 28 and 14 says, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, shall be spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be. All the families of the earth shall be. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you till I have done what I have spoken to you. He never said that to Abraham, and he certainly didn't say that to Isaac. He said it to Jacob, that last verse we just read. I will do for you, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. He had a word. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. You can be in a certain place and still not know the presence of the Lord. You can be under an open heaven, but if you're not connected to the person of heaven, you'll not know it. He thought it was the physical place. It wasn't so much the physical place. God could have met him anywhere. He was on the first day of a three-day journey. He thought it was the actual place, so he anointed the rock. He slept on the rock. In the context of the shadows and types, the rock's who? The rock's Christ. You better be when you're in your desert, leaning upon the rock. Amen. You better be leaning upon the rock in that hour, because on the rock is the truth. And all of a sudden, he began to dream. He began to dream. He didn't know the God of Isaac, and he certainly didn't know the God of Abraham. And he said this after that. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He thought he found a portal. He thought he found this particular place to reach heaven. I want to tell you, if you're leaning on the rock, if you're resting on the rock, you will have an open heaven. Amen. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, which is the house of God. But the name of the city was Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, what way? The way of faith, the way of hope, the way of belief. In this way I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace. We'll go back in a little bit. We'll talk about what happened to Jacob before he left. The Lord shall be what? He wasn't his God till then. Then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. He tithed. Amen. Before the Levitical law, he tithed. Before there was a commandment to tithe, he tithed. Amen. Jacob was a man who came from a dysfunctional family. Anyone ever experienced dysfunction in their family? We can raise our hands, because I'm telling you now, every one of us should lift our hands. All of us have experienced some form of dysfunction or impairment in our house. Amen? So he's no different to me and you. Jacob came out of a dysfunctional family. Mother and father didn't see eye to eye. His mum and dad argued. His mum and dad didn't see eye to eye. You can read it in 25, and I think it's verse 22 or something like that. It says, Isaac loved Esau. Yet Rebekah loved Jacob. So there was a dysfunction in the family. There was even a dysfunction between husband and wife, because this Isaac, who was mummy's boy as well, saw in his son Esau something he didn't have. He was a strong man, a wild man. He was a hunter. He loved eating of his game. He was everything. He was a man's man. He was everything Isaac wasn't, and he liked that. Yet Jacob wasn't like that at all. Jacob was actually different to that. Jacob was more like his dad. He liked to hang around the tents, learn to cook. And that's all right, because none of us have to be the same as anyone else. He learned how to cook, and so his mum, he found favor with his mother. So Isaac favored Esau, and Esau was a man's man. He was a hunter. Rebekah favored Jacob because he got the word, and she got a word in chapter 25 that the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. And so she knew there was a wrestle within her tummy before the babies were born, and she sought the Lord. She sought the Lord. She said, these things ought not to be so. And God spoke to her and says, there is two nations within you, and the older shall serve the younger. So therefore she knew she had a word of the Lord, and therefore she wanted Jacob, because she didn't know who was going to come forth first. She wanted Jacob to follow the word of the Lord. Yet Isaac was moved by sight. Isaac saw how good Esau was. Hairy, strong, hunter, bloke's bloke. Isaac, a cook, didn't wander too far from the tent. Wanted to be around his mum. And it caused some dysfunction in the house. Footnote hint. It doesn't matter what they desire to become. The most important thing in a house is you never label them and determine what they become. You allow God to do that. Amen. I remember in my young days when I was in my fourth year apprenticeship, I was doing quite well at school. They put me up in this class and they said, "You are the future engineers." I said, "I don't want to be an engineer." The teacher goes, "Don't you want to be able to work out all this stuff and, you know, and be an engineer?" I said, "No, I like working with my hands." He says, "So what if you run into a problem?" I says, "I'll hire an engineer." I would not allow him to put a box around me. I knew my gifting was with my hands. Not saying I didn't have a bright head, but I could never imagine myself sitting down at an office every day of my life at work. It would drive me nuts. Yet an engineer loves working with his head. He doesn't need to work with his hands. So when he needs me, I'll do. When I need him, I'll call. Amen. I do not have to be anything that God has not designed me to be. What I've got to find is make sure that no one tries to put me in a box. And sometimes as parents, we do that. We want the best for them. We think what's best for them. But God might have other ideas what's best for them. Amen. Stay with me. Jacob was a mild man who liked to stay around the cook, and like his father before him, Isaac came from a family of division. Even Isaac came from a family of division. Isaac and Ishmael. His father cried out to God and says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said no. God said no. And Ishmael was a man that had been trained with a bow. He was a hunter. Isaac hung around the tents. He wanted to be a mummy's boy. Yet in all that, there was a dysfunction from that house. There was a dysfunction in Abram's house. Abraham was called out from his country and his kindred and his family. Why would God call him out from his country and his kindred and his family? Because there was a dysfunction in his house. Turn with me to Joshua 24, verse 2. There was a dysfunction because what was happening was his father and his brother were worshipping another god. It says, Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord God of Israel, says, long ago your ancestors, including Terah, Terah is the father of Abram, the father of Abram and Nahor, his brother, lived beyond the Euphrates River and they worshipped what? They worshipped other gods." So God had to pull him out from under the influence because there was division in the house. There was turmoil in the house. Any house ever suffered turmoil? Yeah. I think every house has suffered a bit of turmoil. Amen. Jacob was named. Jacob by name is Jacob by nature. Jacob by name is Jacob by nature. Jacob was a liar, a cheat, a deceiver. And you've got to understand, he still didn't know God. Is Jacob any different to us before we knew God? No, not at all. We're a bunch of liars, cheats, and deceivers. Because without the Spirit of God, that's what we are. We're given over to the flesh. Amen? We're in a place of self-preservation. So Jacob was Jacob by name and Jacob by nature. And yet God called him in the midst of the desert, built a ladder and created a dream for him and spoke promise to him, because in the middle of a mess, God has a different plan. Come on. Living in a house, Jacob, a house of covenant promise, a house on whom God's hand rested, yet it didn't change him. It had promise. It had purpose. It had covenant promise. Yet it didn't change him. Not while he was living there. And sometimes in our houses, we have siblings and children that aren't doing or walking the way we think they should walk. And little do we realize, in the midst of the mess, God still has a plan. God still has a plan. Amen. He did not know that God, the God of his father, he was a liar, he was a cheat, he was a deceiver by nature, and he received an inheritance through deception. He lied. And yet in all that, God has a plan. Say it with me. God has a plan for my house. Say it again. God has a plan for my house. God has a plan for my house. I can't see it. I certainly haven't heard it. But God has said it. Amen. God has a plan for my house. If God laid claim to your life, you cannot escape him. If God has a claim for your life, God claimed Jacob as his own. If God has a claim on your life, you will never be able to escape him. If you're born again here this morning, you did not find God. He found you. You cannot escape him. Even though you might go to the depths of the seas, he'll still be there. Ask Jonah. He will still be there. Even though you go to the gates of hell, he will still be there. You cannot escape your God. Even if you run away, even if you hide from him, he will find you. He knows your address. You can move every day of your life. He knows your address. You cannot hide from him. I tried to hide from him for 3 years. 3 years I backslid. Yes. I repent. Please forgive me. 3 years I hid from him. 3 years I tried to obliterate his memory out of my mind. 3 years I would get a beer and say, well, this can alleviate some of the problem. And then, but once the beer had run out, or once the effect of the beer had run out, guess what? He's still there. You cannot get away from him. He'll be in your dreams. He'll be in your sleep. He'll be on the top of the mountain. He'll be in the depths of the sea. You cannot escape God. If he has your number, you better just surrender today, because you will not win the war. I remember the day he shook me. I was in a pub. I think I've told you all this. I was in a pub and the old lady came down with a Salvation Army uniform on. And she smacked me right across the face. She walloped me. Whack! Spilled my beer, for goodness sake. I spilled my mate's beer next door. And my mate and the barman, that's all that was in the whole pub. I said, can you believe this woman? They said, what woman? Who are you talking to? God had my number. I didn't touch a beer from then on. I thought someone put something in my beer. I thought I was hallucinating. And all that day I said, that can't be real. That can't be real. That is not real. But sometimes your God, my God, will get them alone and he will meet with them face to face and he will cause them to sort out their situation, face their problem, face their pain and face their hurt all by themselves. God has a plan. And in due time, he will cause you to face the internal and external conflicts that I might be going through. He might ask me to face the internal and external conflicts of my own home. With my kids, with my wife. He will cause you to face them. If I do not face them, you will face them again one day. You might have to go around your mountain, but please make it a short journey. All it was from the place they left to the place of Kadesh Barnea was approximately 11 to 13 days. It took them 40 years to get the message. Please don't waste life with 40 years. Just yield yourself to God and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Change me. You're right. I'm wrong. Change me. Jacob left his father's house. His mother said, get out of here. Get out of here, Jacob. You need to leave. Because once Esau had sold his birthright for a pot of stew, that's when it's handy to be a good cook. Sold his birthright for a pot of stew. Then he realized that his birthright had been taken away from him by deception. His mother told Jacob, go and get a couple of young kids and I'll cut them up and I'll make your father's favorite soup or stew. Then she skinned them and she put the hair of the goats upon his hands and his arms. She made him wrap up in Esau's clothes. He went in and his father says, is that you, Esau? So he lies. Yes. Yes, it's me. So he says, come here. Because he was half blind. He was probably blind by then. And he wanted to smell him. He smelt the clothes of Esau. He touched his arms because Esau was a hairy man and he felt the hairs on his arm, which was like goat. I mean, that's pretty hairy. I mean, come on. That is hairy. That really is hairy. If your forearm's like a goat, that's pretty bad. Anyway, and then he released a blessing to him. Remember that? He releases the blessing over him and upon him. All of a sudden, Esau arrives. Esau arrives and says, Father, eat. His father was bewildered. His father was actually stunned. What do you mean? I've already released the blessing. He says, no, Father, I'm here. Release the blessing. He says, I can't. I can't reverse what I've said. Esau took offense. So much offense. He said, when my father's days are near, he says, after he's died, I'm going to kill him. In fact, he took solace in that thought. So much was the hatred of his brother. Anyone had any siblings in the house fight? So much hate was in between brother and brother because he got ripped off. He felt ripped off. He said, Father, give me a blessing. You see, when a son and a daughter leaves the house or are ready to leave and move on in the things of God, one of the things they crave for is what? A blessing. They want a blessing. They need to be blessed. They need to be blessed out. They need to be spoken over and prophesied over. They need that. They need to hear the words of their father and the words of their mother speaking life and hope and the promises of God over them. They need that. Amen? Jacob leaves because Rebecca hears the story. She tells him to get out and go. She goes, go to my kindred. Isaac, she says to Isaac, you need to bless him out. So he blesses him out. He says, go on. You got the promises. You got the promise of God on your life. Go. He leaves. Jacob leaves. Jacob leaves with the blessing of his father. He also leaves with the hatred of a brother. He's in conflict. That's why when he went to the house of Bethel, he says, if you allow me to return in peace, you shall be my God. Amen. But Jacob, like most of us, with our unregenerated state, had an issue that he had to deal with. Not just an issue, he had issues. But Jacob is no different to you and I. This place that he met, or this certain place he went to, was a place where he rested his head upon the rock. This place is a place of revealing. This place is a place of promise. A place where he hears God for himself and confirms who he is. He is the same God of my granddad and my dad. And if he does this for me, he'll be my God. God reiterates the promise he made to Abraham and Isaac and now to Jacob, except Jacob was told, I am with you and I will keep you. And wherever you go, I will bring you back to the land. I will not leave you until I have done all that I have spoken to you. Jacob names the place Bethel, thinking that it was the literal place. In this place he dreamt. In this place he saw the ladder. In this place the angel came ascending and descending. In this place the Lord stood over the ladder and he spoke. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where my children are. Once I start decreeing the blessing of God over them, the favor of God over them, he will find them in a certain place. God will get our families and our children, our wives, our husbands, our siblings, our children, to a certain place. You will not know that place because that place is designed just for them. And the minute they begin to rest from the fears of their past, what they've left behind, hello Esau, he wanted to kill him. The fears of what they've left behind are the fears that have happened to them, are the hate that they might have felt, are the disconnection of a father, or the disconnection of a mother. Once they experience the rest of God, once they are enabled to place their head upon their rock, God can open their spiritual eyes and then let them see exactly what he has for their life. Amen. You and I cannot orchestrate that. You and I cannot make that happen. What you and I can do is release them with a blessing. Amen. And not put them in a box. And don't put them in a box. You know, as parents, we sometimes create boxes for our kids. I'm going to just go one step further. Will you allow me the grace? Do not put your wife in a box. And wives, don't put your husbands in a box. Here's some of the boxes that are created. I wish. The I wish box. I wish he was just like this. I wish she would just be or do that. I wish. Can I say something? You can wish as much as you want. It ain't going to happen. There's no faith in wishing. What you and I have to say is, Lord, help me to be the best me that they can see. Help me. My Bible says, and the man is won over by her chaste and her internal adornment, not the pearls and the silver that's hanging off her, that she might win me. Amen. So her jewels are not external. Her value is not in the external. Her value is in the spirit. Don't put people in a box. And here's the greatest box we make. Do not put God in a box. He can do anything he wants, when he wants, how he wants. God brought him to a certain place. This certain place was a place in his heart. To acknowledge that God, he was the God of Abraham and Isaac. It can be in a desert. It can be in a place of isolation. It can be in a place of fear. It can be a place of intimidation. It can be a place of rejection. God already has, and in the midst of all that, God already has his ministers in place to build the ladder for my Jacob to reach him. Your God already has things in place. Your God has already things in place for your Jacob, my Jacob, me as Jacob, my wife as Jacob. God has already things in place and ministers of heaven in place to build what is needed to build so they can see an open heaven and see him. Amen. He was on top of the ladder speaking to him. Are you getting anything? For God to accomplish this in Jacob, Jacob had to go somewhere else. Jacob had to go and visit his mum's brother, whose name was Laban. This was a 3-day journey. He meets Rebecca at the well. Not Rebecca. Yeah, it is Rebecca. No, Rachel. He meets Rachel at the well. He rolls away the stone for the well. He allows her to drink what she, the sheep what need to drink. He tells her who she is. She runs to her house. Laban comes up and greets him. The name Laban means white. But it also means this: liar, cheat, deceiver. The child is now meeting the master. The child is now meeting the master. Because God wanted to get something out of him that he shouldn't have. God was going to use Laban, who was an idolater. He was going to use Laban to make this man, Jacob, become the man that God could wrestle with to change him once and for all to a man of God. Amen. Laban, the great trickster, the liar, deceiver, whose heart was continually bent towards his own agenda and had little room for anyone else. God was going to use a trickster on the trickster, and it was going to cost him. Yet all the time, God was revealing himself to Jacob. In the midst of the dilemma he's having with Laban, God was showing himself God. Amen. And sometimes, just sometimes, when our kids are going through stuff, you've got to let them go through the stuff. You can't afford to rescue them. May I say, I'm not being hard here, but you can actually delay the work of God. You can actually delay the work of God by you rescuing them over and over again. Sometimes they have to go to that certain place to meet their God. Amen. While we pray, while we uphold, while we intercede, while we love on him, while we don't put them in a box, while we don't label them, while we don't want them and wish this and wish that for them, what we have to do is say, God, have your way. Amen. And I want just to reiterate this one thing. He will have his way. It mightn't be the way you choose for them. It mightn't be the things you desire for them. But if it's his way, it's the best way. Amen. And it was going to cost him. So Jacob had to courage, had to have courage over fear, to trust the spoken word. And that's what he developed. He developed trust in this, in his God, the God of his father, and over the spoken word. Laban's house was a house that was full of dysfunction, a house of pain, a house of lack, not of money, but of love. He's moved from a dysfunctional home, and he's moved into another dysfunctional home. And yet all the time, God is teaching him something about dysfunction. Laban was a man who was rich, but not in love. He worshipped stuff more than what he cared for his own family. And we'll go into that next week. But I'm going to leave you a little tidbit. Laban's two daughters. Can anyone tell me who they are? Rachel and Leah. In their day, when a man gives his daughter to be a bride, he would give a dowry. Is that right? Yet he made Jacob pay for them. In other words, they were no different to a slave girl to dad. They were worth something. There was a lack of love in his house and of honor in his house. He paid a price for them. He paid 14 years for them. Yet the father should have really celebrated the wedding and given a dowry on his behalf of his daughter and sent her away with a blessing. So now Laban was going to teach the great trickster, was going to teach the little trickster some lessons in life. And we will continue that on next week. Hallelujah. Amen. God has a plan for your house. It might not be the path you think your children should walk, but you've got to understand that He has not lost anyone. And all are in His hand, and He will make sure that He is God in their life. It might not be in the box you think. It might not be in the structure you think. But He will get glory out of their life. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what house we belong to. All of us go through the same sort of stuff. Sibling rivalry, sibling contention. Fathers placing tags on their children. Mothers placing tags on their children. Wives placing tags on husbands, and husbands placing tags on their wives. Putting them in a box. Can we this morning break every box? Can we break the restrictions we've placed on people's lives and remove the tags off them? And may I really challenge you this morning, stop wishing. Start praying. I'm serious. Stop wishing. Start praying. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge every household here, every couple, every person. Please be a people of prayer. Please be a people of prayer. Amen. If they don't want to pray, pray but say, Lord, they're here in spirit until God touches them and gets them in that certain place. Don't try and drive them there. Don't try and push them there. Don't try and poke them there. Don't try and tell them what they should be doing. Let them find God in that certain place. Because He will steer them there. Amen. That's you this morning. Let's just lift up our hands before the Lord. Father, we just lift up our households before You this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, first of all, we say forgive us for making every box. Forgive us for making every restraint in the name of Jesus. Lord, we remove every tag we've spoken over them in Jesus' name. I renounce every word that I've spoken, Father, that is not of You. And I pull it down in the name of Jesus. And therefore, its power thereof. And Father, this morning, I thank You that I'm not going to be a wisher. I'm going to be a prayer. I thank You this morning in the name of Jesus that You have a plan and purpose for my household. And You will reveal to my Jacob the God. The God of me, the God of my children, the God of my family, the God of my wife. You'll reveal our God to them in their unique and special way. Take them to their certain place, Father. Take them to their certain place that You might reveal Yourself, that they may lay their head upon the rock and have a dream in their midnight hour. I thank You for that, and I believe that You'll bring change to me and my house in Jesus' name. And if that's you, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Yes. Come on, He's a good God. Yes. And He works all things out together for good in Jesus' name. Have a great week, successful week, wonderful week in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.